Coach, it was a struggle from the start. That second half, though, got out of control. Can you pinpoint what took place and what the problem was?
Yeah, no, we got our butts whipped. That was not even close.
We just beat ourselves. Well, I had a lot of mistakes on my behalf.
It sucks. Losing sucks, and we gotta get over that.
You know, I mean, it's frustrating when you know, watching film that you're the better team and you don't come out with a win.
Oh, I hate losing. I really do.
We had a chance, and we gotta learn from it and make an adjustment. Look at the film and get better.
And it stings, but trying to tell the guys in there, you know, this is life. It can't define you.
I've never known a man worth the salt who deep down in his heart didn't appreciate the grind, the discipline, and the win!
Now's the time.
Is it?
It is. It's time for the Eternal Warrior podcast. This week's rendition thereof.
Yes. It's game time.
Mm-hmm. EWP time. Helping young people in their quest for self-mastery. Sharing stories from the battlefront in the war against Satan and pornography. Spence, we got a
That's
good
right.
one lined up this week. But
That's right.
if you haven't had a chance to listen to last week's conversation with our good friend, one very strong man, Cody Hawes.
A recently found out Man of the Year.
Man of the Year recipient.
Oh, my goodness. We had to. Sorry, Cody. Yeah, that's all right.
Man of the Year recipient.
You got to listen to it.
You know what? It is as prestigious as it sounds.
It's a big deal. It was a big deal.
Yep.
You got to listen to the episode, though. It was one near and dear to my heart personally because of, just that the conversation around how do we accept and deal with pain and grief.
Yes.
Which is hard.
Extremely hard.
But having someone that is professionally trained to deal with such things like yourself, which I guess mm-hmm. we're now saying Cody's back again.
Oh yeah, that's him. That's him.
This is two in a row.
He's back on.
Yeah.
And I think that key component that we talked about last time, Cody, about accepting the fact that we're in a fallen world and that we have deficiencies and mortal challenges, appetites, passions, and inhibitions, really, like, as soon as we understand and even embrace that, that's kind of the key that unlocks successful recovery moving forward. Being able to embrace who we are, but not make excuses for ourselves, and putting together a plan with the Lord to actually do something about our mortal state and our fallen state. Really, really powerful content from last week. So if you haven't listened to that yet, press pause, go back and do that, and then come back here.
Pause. That's...
No, that was a good one.
That's... So when you heard me say that, press it.
Yeah, that's good. Pause. Also... We want to hear from you guys. We've had a lot of really inspiring people write into us. We want to hear your stories, and we want to hear what type of content that you appreciate from us that helps you in your recovery. In case you can't tell, we've actually been having a lot of I guess we've kind of been on a roll with talking a lot about passion projects and what to do to sustain recovery in the long term. And today's episode is no different. But that's because in large part due to some of the great people the Lord has put in our path, but also some of the feedback that we've gotten from you around what you like to hear. Correct. So we like this is not mine and Spence's podcast. This is the Eternal Warrior podcast. This is a community. And we want to hear from you to give you what you want and what you need to sustain recovery. And Spence, how do they hit us up?
100%. You send me an email. Dang it. I didn't know you were going to ask me that. podcast@lifechangingservices.org is how you do it. You email. So you get on your email machine. You go psh, 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 type, 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 podcast@lifechangingservices.org. Those are the fingers.
That's right.
And then, and we're on the other side of that. What's cool about that is it's us in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. We love getting that stuff, and we love hearing from you. We love hearing what passion projects you have going on.
And what podcasts
and what you podcasts have going you listen to, whatever you're doing. it's so much fun to build and foster that community with you.
Totally.
So another opportunity to press pause and let us know how you're doing. Tell us what you want to hear. Do that.
Yes. Do it.
And you know who else is going to tell us what to do? Or how's it going? Our man Cody Haas, right here.
Hello, Eternal Warrior Podcast fans. Cody Haas here. So grateful for spending Wes being mentors to so many. If you're listening to this, you may be going through some unexpected pain. I have spent a couple of decades helping people overcome such hardship and would love to be of service to you. From a 10-minute free chat to a full assessment, you can call 385-519-6089 to set that up. That's 385-519-6089. Whatever it is, you're amazing, and of course, you got this.
So that was wonderful piano music, Cody. And we also have Cody in the flesh here today.
Again.
To speak with us.
Tag team. Back again.
French vanilla, rocky. You see that?
The commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually, little did we know too, Cody, that you were in a, can we call it a boy band? That you were in a boy band.
No.
A boy acapella.
It was, acapella group.
Pleathers?
The Pleathers.
The Pleathers.
So if you couldn't tell from Cody's tag team,
you know why
he's got the voice.
Called it that because we'd all wear...
You guys wore pleather.
You didn't call that because it was a pleather to listen to you.
Yeah.
Oh. Watch out! I'm here. I came.
And Mark,
that voice just heard. That's Mark. And I'm here. You can tell by the type of jokes he's got. He's got children.
Watch out, people. Right? Dad is here.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Dad has arrived. Mark, thank you so much for being here. I guess that's how I love that you just jumped right in.
Why not?
By the way, the pleathers were very on the low totem pole to
compared
what
to
his group was, which was pop rocks.
Good old, I mean, you know the candy, right? It's just music in your mouth, I guess. I don't know. It was probably one of the lamest names ever to come up with an acapella group. But hey,
the pop rocks.
Pop rocks with two X's at the end? Or
oh, no. We weren't that cool.
Whoa, okay. All right.
This is still very, it's very collegiate. You know, we couldn't put an extra X on there yet. Unless we went professional.
I love it.
That's so awesome. We do have Mark with us today. Thank you so much for joining. Seriously.
My pleasure.
So awesome. I actually think maybe we should start there. How did you get here?
Well, it was a dark and stormy night, 1981. No, I'm just kidding. That is a great question. So my name is Mark Morrell. I am friends with Cody. Cody and I actually went to college together. Mm-hmm. We were in the same ward after our mission. And
rival singing groups.
Rivals, rivalry. Definitely a rivalry going on there. But he and I have kind of been in touch back and forth since college, which I can't believe it's been.
Oh yeah, it's been a long
as
time.
Long as it has been.
2005.
Goodness. But we have been kind of in touch now and then. I've been doing some business and leadership coaching since I've worked for Disney and for the Utah Jazz and other things, and he's just kind of kept in touch, and we've been back and forth, and I know what's been going on here with Sons of Helaman and Men of Moroni and Life Changing Services, and I'm a big fan of what it is that Cody's, you know, his mission, what he's been a part of. I mean, it's incredible.
So
I love
cool,
it. I know.
Right?
It's so dang cool. So he reached out to me. He's like, hey, we have this idea. You know, is that something you'd have interest in? And I kind of hemmed and hawed about it. And then he's like, just listen to this podcast. which happened to be the podcast that Maurice was here and Cody talking about passion projects.
Ooh.
And at the end of that, I was like, I Marco Polo'd Cody, and I was like, I don't care where the wall is, just point me to it, and I'm going to run through it, because let's do this. This is freaking amazing. I want to be a part of this, whatever it is. And so Cody and I have been working for the last couple months in formulating what we think is going to be a really awesome boot camp type training for passion projects. So that's why we're here. Yes.
Whoa. This is awesome.
So cool.
Yes.
Dude.
I'm juiced. Pumped. All of the above. I'm pop rocks, if you will.
And we will.
Thank you.
And we will.
Wow. I am pop rocks.
Watch out. Watch out. And maybe just from Cody's perspective, too, the why someone like Mark?
Oh, man. I'll just share my first story. I mean, like, one of my very most favorite stories with Mark is, I remember one day I was just having a really hard time, and he was my Elders Quorum president at BYU Idaho, and I just called him up, hey, is there any way I can get a blessing or something? And literally when I hung up, it was like maybe 2 or 3 minutes later, and he was at my door. And so that's the type of impression that Mark gives right from the start. And that's telling to what maybe even the charisma that maybe you already have with him, you know? And so that started off a really good friendship, doing EFY together, just partying every summer like that. That was awesome.
Yes.
And then just, I mean, it's just been great. And just to see what he's done with Disney and the Jazz, he invited us to, you know, go see the Jazz and some other things over at the arena there. And just an amazing friend of mine for so long.
So cool.
Love him.
Can we just pause for a moment and say how cool it is, the fact that you've worked for the greatest, I mean, Disney, what? And then the second, I would actually say the first, the greatest organization in the world.
Yeah.
The Utah Jazz.
Go on.
Los Jazz del Utah.
So cool.
Yeah.
Your experience.
I've been extremely blessed, and it's been a humbling career so far for sure. And I'm grateful for the opportunities I've had.
Yeah. Well, and it just as leads you, all of those pieces, isn't it interesting to see how the Lord has prepared both of you throughout your journey so far to get to this point? And now how do we take it to the next level, right? How do we then help more and more people enjoy sustained recovery? Mm-hmm. So,
and that's kind of what I wanted to ask about too, is where this collaborative idea kind of came from and how it spawned. And then of course we'll get into the specifics of, you know, what is it that we're actually talking about in terms of, you know, a workshop to help build passion projects. So, Coda, I want to ask you, like, how did that conversation go you guys were both obviously aware of each other's career paths and what you were up to, but where did you kind of realize everything that Mark's doing with business leadership and life coaching, what I'm doing with recovery, there's such a natural overlap here? And help me understand kind of like the light bulb that went off and how the Lord kind of inspired you there.
Well, it's in Mark's countenance, like just passion. You feel it when you're around him. His influence is felt. A really positive vibe. And so I've always been drawn toward him and wanted to hang out, wanted to see his philosophies and different ideas. And so it's just kind of always been there. It's actually been a part of my idea for even since I've started Sons of Healing. I was like, man, I wish Mark could work here somehow. I know he's not necessarily a therapist, but man, he does the life coaching. I mean, he does the business consulting. He does all that stuff. I've always had in my mind that he could come in and definitely break through those walls here, like he said.
Dude.
So.
And he's ready to do so.
Oh, man. Always.
Mm. Okay. So then the question then I would ask in addition to that is from like all the conversations that you and Maurice have, obviously the goal of Life Changing Services is to not just get kids through 12 weeks, mm-hmm. I would assume. I don't know. I guess maybe that's
exactly.
Your...
I mean, there's lots of areas of motivation and stages of motivation. And this covers, like, most people come into the program pre-contemplative on changing their behavior, right? They get to contemplative, then they get to education training, then they get to the action stage of change, and then there comes maintenance. And I've always been a little bit, man, the next stage they talk about is relapse. I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I like that too much. Yeah, I get it. We're going to relapse in areas of our life. There's always going to be something that comes in and tries to wreck us. But Mike, I want to create effective maintenance. You know, I know it's not going to be perfect. We're always going to have something that comes in and tries to impede us. But passion projects do that. They give us effective maintenance. Just look at what the podcast has done for you and what my work has done for me. Like, everybody in here has had some type of passion project. Mark's written books. He's, you know, stuff like that. And so it's just really effective maintenance. And that's what I want to help people do. It's not get just the 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. I want them to be the leaders of knowing how to do passion, but also knowing how to overcome really hard things. When they're bishops, when they're stake presidents, when they're just leaders of their companies, I want them to get that level and to team up with so many people to get that done.
I love that. And that's something that we talk a lot about here on the Eternal Warrior podcast, is that Sons of Helaman program and true addiction recovery is not just getting, and you can't see me, but I'm air quoting, not just getting fixed or back to normal or getting to some plane of mediocrity, now, right? Like, it's...
Well, now it's over with. It's done. Like, I finally got done with my addiction, and now
I can do life?
Right.
Well, what does that really mean or look like?
Yes.
And what I actually really appreciate about my experience with my addiction is that in order to keep it at bay, I can't just be normal. I can't just be okay. Like, I have to strive for excellence in whatever it is I'm doing.
Yep.
And, like, that's why I'm so stoked to learn from Mark and hear, like, Cody's view on things. And like, yeah, I want to ask you, like, what is the program that you guys have developed here?
Well, I'm pretty excited about it. So just, you kind of mentioned synergy a little bit. And so some of the framework and stuff I learned from Disney, you know, is applicable in business and in leadership. And I kind of found this little secret a couple of years ago when I was wanting to get healthy. You know, I love food. I think it's the greatest thing on earth.
My man.
And it's really, you know, it's one of those things where I just, like, I knew I needed to change something. So I call it the New Year's Eve syndrome, right? We get into New Year's Eve. We know we want to make a change. And so we're like, yeah, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to get more healthy, right? So we kind of just say this generic term. I'm going to get more healthy. Cool. So you go and you buy your gym membership and you say, I'm going to eat healthier. I'm like, okay, cool. But what happens almost always is 2 weeks after going to the gym and trying to do whatever, you know, and then eating healthier means I've had only two scoops of ice cream instead of four or whatever that might mean. And what happens is essentially we kind of relapse back into the old lifestyle, right?
Totally.
And you stop going to the gym and you stop trying to eat healthy. And the reason being is, and I think this is kind of where that synergy comes into play, is if you don't build a framework around what you're trying to accomplish, if you don't have the right set mindset, you don't have the right framework built around you, pre-decisions almost, then it's super easy to fall back into those kind of those relapses. And so when I saw what Cody and Maurice were doing, I was like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. I think if I overlap this on top of that, that's going to help a whole bunch. And so kind of with my health journey, once I realized that this framework works, like I haven't missed a week at the gym in 4 years. I'm working on the food thing still. You guys had desserts with us tonight. You kind of know how that goes.
Those were good.
Right. Dang. But incremental improvements are being made, right? And that framework's in place. And that's essentially what we're here to help teach, is that framework. And one of the things I love most about Life Changing Services is we just call things what they are, right?
Yes.
Lucifer's trying to get you to stop. Oh, well, that's true. He is. He's trying to get us and trying to lull us and pacify that, which I love that phrase in 2 Nephi. He's trying to lull and pacify us to a point where we're no longer being productive, where we're complacent. We're in our hole, whether that's addiction or just pure laziness and complacency. That's where he wants to keep us.
Numb.
Exactly. And if he can keep us there, that's awesome. Because then he doesn't have to work on us anymore. Because we're doing it to ourselves.
Totally.
Right? Mm-hmm. So then the instant he sees us trying to dig ourselves out of that hole, that's when he's like, okay, let's get you back here. Let's get that flaxen cord. Let's start pulling you back into where this hole is. And so that's kind of where the synergy is because this framework with passion projects really helps us to take that passion that we have to get us to be proactive and to keep us proactive. And that's what I'm pretty excited about.
So to me, it kind of sounds like we have to put frameworks in place in our daily life to where the productive action is actually easier, more natural. Like, we've talked a lot about the efficiency mechanism of how do we create paths of, or how do we guard against neural paths of least resistance. So how do we create certain habits or behaviors that are, like, it's easier to do the right thing than the wrong thing. Am I making any sense here?
Yeah, right. Yes, totally. So, and that's exactly, when you talk about health and working out, when you say 4 years, Mark, that's amazing.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, can we just say that? Like, that is amazing.
When I hit my first month, I was like, yeah, I know, that's pretty cool. You know, and then you're totally right. Once you kind of break a threshold, it no longer becomes effort. Now it's just
what it is. It's what you
do. It's part of you. Right. You can't not do it now.
I cannot do it. If I wake up late, I'm like, shoot, I woke up late, but that's okay. I'll just readjust my schedule so I can still go work out. Right. It no longer becomes I can't remember who said it, but it no longer becomes a burden. It's now just, it's what I do. It's part of my life. And that's where I think we need to get to with passion projects. Passion projects should not just be a singular event that we work towards and then it's completed. No, I mean, this should be a continual thing we're shooting for.
Ooh.
So
can we talk about the framework?
Please. Yes.
Like, how did you do it? Like, now I'm like, dang, I need to learn this because I need to get my butt into gear at the gym.
So yeah, it's totally fine.
What is the framework?
So here's, we'll take a couple steps back here. So when I started working for Disney, when they hired me in, they call it their emerging leadership program. So it's essentially a professional internship. And I was one of 11 people that they brought in to be a part of this. And they take 4 months of training time before they even put you in a leadership position. Because they want to make sure they set the right expectation of, this is what we expect from you before you even try to manage here at Disney.
Right.
And so I kind of thought that was the norm, you know, like that's what people did, is they, you know, take time to set an expectation so you know what's expected of you when you start working for them. So when I went to work for the group I was at with the Jazz, and not to their fault, I just don't think they knew any better, but I came in and they're just like, hey, here's the employee handbook. Good luck, you know.
Go get them.
Get them. Yeah, do your job, buddy. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. And then, so I was trying to fulfill that expectation, but getting corrected all the time because I wasn't doing what I, quote unquote, was supposed to do. So how does that apply
to... But you didn't know what you were supposed to do.
Right, exactly.
The expectation was never set. Okay. Yeah.
So similarly, I think that happens with us on a personal level. Kind of a cool little backstory here is, you guys know who Truman G. Matson is? He did the Joseph Smith lectures, and he's just incredible. I had an opportunity to be in a cool little meeting with only 4 other people, and he was there when he was a stake patriarch 2 years before he died. And somebody asked this question. They said, you know, if there's one thing you could tell the youth that the Lord would want them to know, what is that? And he just looked, he sat there for a minute and thought, and he said, if the young adults of this church understood what the work is the Lord had for them to do here, they would never falter. And then he just says, find out what your work is. That's it. That's the only thing he said about that. Find out what your work is. So I'm taking that, kind of bringing it all together. The Lord has an expectation of us. He does. He has a work for us to do on this earth. And if we don't take the time to try to figure that out, then we're going to be like I was at the Jazz. I'm scrambling everywhere, trying to do everything because I think that's what I'm being expected to do. Luckily, we've been blessed with a few things like a patriarchal blessing, other things like that, that kind of help us zone in on what that expectation is.
To be clear, that was pre-Quinn Snyder era, right?
Actually, this was after Quinn Snyder. Okay. But I mean, this was the arena section. This wasn't the team itself. Okay, the team itself knew what they were doing.
Jazz fans, right? Like, rest assured, we're doing okay.
Right. So the thing that Disney did then is, so they take the time to set the expectation with their employees, and then they teach them 2 main principles. They teach them the vision of what they do, and then they teach them what the core values are of Disney. So why these are so important. The vision is essentially that thing that you're shooting for, right? That's your goal. That's what you're trying to accomplish. So Disneyland's vision statement was, we create magical memories for our guests each and every day. super easy to remember, something that probably isn't completely achievable because we can't make every guest happy. That's impossible. I can testify to that. I dealt with many unhappy people, but it is something that we as a group were able to rally around and try to accomplish, right? So we knew that whatever we were doing throughout our day, decision-making wise, I was supposed to try to help my guests have a magical experience, okay? Mm. So then they have what they call their core values, which are safety, courtesy, efficiency, and show. So that's their decision-making framework. That's the parameters. So essentially, if let's say I'm building a new ride for Disneyland, and I'm here to create a magical experience for my guests, I know that. Okay, is the ride I'm building, is it gonna be safe? Yep, it's safe. Okay, cool. Is it going to provide an opportunity for the cast members to be courteous and have a good experience while we're waiting in queue? Just think about like Indiana Jones, mm-hmm. ride for a second.
Totally.
Okay? Yeah. So like, yeah, while the guests are in queue, they're probably enjoying themselves and having a good time. Are we being efficient? Is this as efficient as we possibly can? Cool. And are we supporting the show that is Disney? So that's the filter of decision-making or the framework that they live by. So if I'm building this ride and I'm not checking off one of those boxes, then it's gone. I don't have to worry about that anymore because I already have my core set of decision-making framework ahead of me. So I guess one really good way to like think about this is let's think about a bowling alley. The pins, that's your vision. That's what you're trying to accomplish, okay? Yep. So in this instance, the bowling ball is your passion, all right? Let's take that. And I don't know if you've ever watched some bowling fails ever on YouTube, but they're freaking amazing. But if you see somebody who's not controlling that passion, right, that bowling ball is going to go into another lane. It's going to go up into the ceiling. It's going to go behind them. It's going to go wherever.
Stay attached to their fingers and, like, move them down the lane.
Exactly.
That's one of my favorites. I love that one.
Exactly. So the key is then you put up the bumpers in the lane, which are your values, so that the decision-making's already been done. All you have to focus on is getting that bowling ball to the end of the row. And it doesn't matter how it gets there. You can curve it. It can bounce against the bumper 1,000 times. As long as it's progressing towards those pins, that's what matters most, right? Mm. So that's kind of what we're hoping to teach with this passion project is you got to know who you are as an individual. And not only that, know the potential that God has for you, the work that he expects you to do while you're here. And then let's build those bumpers out for you. So you don't have to think about what you should or should not be doing. It's already, the decision's been made, you know, and you just stay within those bumpers and you can start accomplishing things, right?
Makes a lot of sense. And it also helps to focus and harness your energy, right? Like if you've got your bumpers up, like you can't bounce all the way over to another lane. You can't go backwards. Whatever force you put forward is going to go toward
exactly
the goal there.
Yeah.
It's not going to be misused in an inefficient way.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It also goes into like what Bryson was talking about the other day, mm-hmm. and that when you throw the ball, you can be, you're confident that Heavenly Father is going to allow that ball to do whatever it needs to do, right? To get in that strike or whatever, to hit whatever pin, right? And so those bumpers make you a little bit more confident in going and doing what you need to go do.
Ooh, I
love how Bryson shared that the other day.
And for you bowling purists out there, this is an analogy.
Yes, yes, please. This is
a metaphor. So relax. Okay.
Bumpers. It's okay.
You know, I'm 30. I've bowled with bumpers. Okay.
You have?
There's no shame in that. There's no shame in that.
I was about to say.
No, there's a little bit of shame in it, but that's who I am, and I embrace it.
What about that little aimer thing that you can put on?
Oh, the thing that you just kind of, the little rampy guy?
Push it down.
I'm not above that either. Yeah. Anything to make my bowling experience less embarrassing. But it's a balance, right?
It is.
What's more embarrassing?
True. Exactly. Yeah. The ramp one, that gets pretty,
pretty
bad. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
We digress. Mark. Cool. So how do we then figure out what is my passion? How can I determine? I love your story about Truman's Madsen.
Yep.
Figure out why you're here. How do we do that?
There's only one person in this entire universe that can help you do that, right? And that's God. So for me personally, when I was going to build out my own life's vision and values, which is part of the program that we talk about doing, is it's really involving the Lord in understanding what your purpose is here. And for the most part, our purpose will probably never change. It probably never will. So if you sit down, you kneel down with the Lord, you take out your patriarchal blessing. And Maurice actually, in his prior trainings, has one of those pre-prayers. I don't know what we call them. They're just kind of like pre-written kind of prayers.
Warrior prayers.
Yeah, yeah, warrior prayer. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Specifically about this, which is essentially, you know, like, help me know what you've sent me here to do. And as I was studying my, patriarchal blessing, and I was praying, and I went to the temple, which is a little hard to do right now, but mm-hmm. it just started to come to me, and it started to get refined more and more to becoming a more specific line. And I actually have, I really honestly just did this for myself about a year and a half ago. So I don't have mine memorized like I do Disney, which I need to, but it's my guiding light now. It's super easy. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, do you want to, you know, partner up with this? All right. Does it fit my vision and values? No. Okay, cool. Thanks, but no thanks, you know? So, it's really just a one-on-one experience with the Lord. Nobody can tell you what your work is. That only God can. So
it's gotta be an individual experience.
Yeah, for sure.
And especially, yeah, with God's help.
Yeah. One thing that I've noticed is I haven't undertaken something like as specific and structured as what you've done, but I think every so often, every New Year's Eve or so, or New Year's Day, I try to think, wow, what am I really doing here? You know, what's kind of my calling? And it's interesting to me that I've always tried to rationalize and think, well, is this what I want to do, or is this really what the Lord wants me to do? And I think a lot of, especially youth and young single adults, struggle with that. Like, well, if I do this, am I closing myself off to what I am, again, quotes, supposed to do instead of what I want to do? And I think that that's a cultural thing in the church that we probably need to root out and fix, because one thing I've learned in my life, and I think this probably applies to everybody, is, I mean, look at, I think it's when Nephi's praying in his garden and the Lord promises, what you ask will not be amiss because you have aligned your will with mine. And if we're living the gospel accordingly, if we're seeking out the Lord and counseling with him, our passion, like what our desires, what we really want, will be what he wants for us.
Yes.
And I think that, like, well, I don't know, sorry, you talk more to that, Mark.
No, I'm like loving this. That. I'm okay. Just like eating this up because it's, no, you're 100% right. That the reality is there's one thing, and if there's ever like a gospel book I would write, it would be about agency. Because there's one thing in particular with what you're saying that just kind of drives me crazy a little bit. It's when people will say stuff like, well, I'm not gonna do that because the Lord didn't tell me to. Or there's a bunch of situations like when you're dating somebody, like, well, you know, the Lord hasn't told me yes or no. The reality is the Lord expects us to make a decision. He expects us to move and act. That's the one gift he's given us that he cannot touch. And it's the one gift that he expects us to grow and to develop while we're here on this earth. And so while we sit here and we're like, well, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. Just act. Just make a decision, act on it, and the Lord will course correct. I've learned throughout at least my measly 40 years here on the earth that God is not a course dictator. He's a course corrector. And the more and more we allow him to correct our course, the more and more we become in alignment with what Nephi said. Nephi had let the Lord correct him so many times that at that point it was like, yep, I trust you. Whatever you're going to do, I support 100%. And so it's our job and responsibility to use our agency to do that. And that's, I believe that fits in perfectly with kind of what we're talking about here is that. And obviously Satan is going to do everything in his power to thwart us from that. He wants us to believe that we cannot take that action.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is it almost plays right into Satan's hands if we're in this, like, the Lord hasn't told me yet what I'm supposed to do or what my mission is. Then we sit and do nothing.
Right.
And it's not what he's wanting us to do.
That's the biggest win. I think sometimes we're so concerned, especially in an addiction recovery setting. Like, we're so worried about not viewing pornography, not indulging in masturbation, those types of challenges that we talk about at Sons of Helaman, that we're so focused on not doing bad things that we're so worried about doing anything, right? And so we're kind of stuck in neutral in this holding pattern of, what do I do? Because I can't do anything until I'm better, until I'm in. And that's the great lie that Satan tells you, is you aren't good enough until you're good enough, kind of. You know,
yes.
Like, you can't move until you're until this is taken care of, until this is fixed. Right.
Until you're perfect.
Like, we see that with guys all the time in program. I'm like, I can't get it. I can't be dating anybody until this is figured out. And, like, I'm not saying that there's not merit to that.
Right.
But the fact that you're not, like, learning how to do, like, deal with your addiction in a relationship, Satan loves that. Right. Yep. Satan loves that you're inactive.
Correct.
And so, like, yeah, that great lie of you can't do anything until this is addressed is a big deal. Code, you're going to say something.
Just to Mark's point of course correction, right? When we make that choice, that's when we get all these evidences from the adversary of why not to make that choice. And so it's actually a very good indicator when we're moving and we're decision-making, if we pay attention, the blockers will come out that keep us into that complacent state. And so it's a huge indicator of great recovery when we use our agency for the best. But we also get a lot of evidences as to why Satan almost becomes our little helper. He's like, oh, thanks for reminding me why I'm supposed to be doing this.
Right. It's opposition becomes the accelerant, right?
Exactly.
Which is it's so interesting.
It's huge.
How that works. And my wife shared a quote with me the other day that said, you know, God can't move a parked car. He can't direct a parked car. So the car, we have to be moving. We have to be engaging. And I think this happens with passion projects a lot. We get 15 ideas of what passion project could potentially be, but we don't make the decision on what we should do. Okay, well, just choose one and act on it and let's see what happens. And that's what happened with me in my workouts. Like, I chose a workout plan and I started doing it. I was like, man, this just isn't working for me, but that's okay. Maybe this one will, you know? And you just kind of start to adjust and course correct. As long as you have your parameters set up and you know you're not going to go without those, you can do as much course correction in there that you need to.
So we're not necessarily going to get a lot into the limited beliefs in the class, but when we do the break off synergy groups, that's where we're going to get a lot of the, like, okay, what are your limited beliefs? What are the things that the adversary is saying to really keep you from stopping this or not doing this? What are the de-accelerants or what's putting on the brakes, right?
Man, that's so huge.
Like, your example with the gym, I think that one thing that keeps me, you know, from hitting launch or doing some cool things that I want to do with my mortality is one of the things that, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners and Spence, I know you're this way as well, is if it ain't going to be perfect, I don't want to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, like, I don't want to start something. Like, I want my vision to be clear and I want my vision to be my reality.
Right.
But then when those aren't congruent, then I get anxious about it because, like, I'm doing something wrong.
Totally.
How do we break through that whole perfectionistic challenge to actually just be grateful for having something, you know?
Let's talk about how much that is, like, Satan's key job in this whole process. So let's go back to the bowling alley, okay. Right? Man, I only knocked down 3 pins. That sucks. I didn't get it perfect. I didn't knock down all 10. Man, I'm a failure. I'm the worst. I probably shouldn't try another one, right? Ooh. I shouldn't throw another ball down there because chances are I probably won't knock down the other 7. I think as long as we remember this one key thing, like, you are a child of God. He wants you to be successful, right? And perfection is the journey. It's not the end game. It's, hey, I'm just continuously improving every day that I can so that I can return to live with him. That's all that really matters. It's this constant daily journey of imperfection, which is what one thing I love about this mortal life is, it's a whole bunch. It's that quote by, what was it? Elder Uchtdorf, who said, you know, the church is run by a whole bunch of imperfect people, and that must be so frustrating for God, right? Mm-hmm. You know, yes. But it's the beauty of what this earth is knowing that probably 99% of the time, the end product won't be perfect, but that's okay. Cause when I get to that point, I will have become a little bit more perfect, and that's what matters, right?
Oh, man.
It's that continual progression that the Lord is expecting us to do. And Satan wants nothing more. Like the bowling alley. Let's go back to the bowling alley.
Yeah.
So you've got a passion project picked out. You've got your parameters set up. You're pumped. What is he going to do at the bowling alley? Let's turn on the lights and the music. Let's try to distract them as much as humanly possible so that they won't focus on what they need to focus on. I just can't emphasize enough the importance of perfection should never be the goal. That's not, we can't become perfect. You can't. I can't. It's impossible.
Well, think about becoming the best bowler you could possibly be.
Exactly.
You're not going to become a great bowler unless you bowl.
Right.
Like, you can't become great. And if you're, like, worried about, oh, man, this ball, I'm a little worried about the holes. They don't fit perfect, so I'm not going
to
bowl.
Well, then you're the guy that brings his own stuff to the house.
Right.
And you become that guy.
You want to be that guy. That's...
That's when you arrived.
That is when you arrived.
When you've got your own shoes and you have your own ball.
You learn a glove at the alley. Yeah. You know what you're doing.
The guy brings his own ball. Yeah. And you're like, oh, shoot. Yeah, it's over. It's league night. But the adversary, he genuinely is going to convince you that perfection is not worth attempting. But guess what? We will never achieve perfection in this life. That's not the point. The point is just to improve.
To learn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfection comes hereafter. So let's not worry about it here. Let's just do the best we can.
And that,
I love it.
We're even in that context, we're operating under perfection being the goal instead of progression and product. And what I mean when I say that is having something to show.
Right.
Like, I think about all of my passion projects that are sitting on the shelf or things that I have yet to, you know, press go on and just go forth. And it's because I'm so worried about it not turning out the way I want it to,
right,
or think it will. And so it just gathers dust in my imagination and no one can appreciate it. Not even me, because it's not real.
Right.
And it's not real.
That's so fascinating. And who knows, if you were to take that off the shelf and just start working on it, how many people you potentially could help, right, regardless of where you're at. And so I think as we go through the class, we'll talk about the framework to achieving, you know, not just passion projects, but goals and things in life that we're trying to accomplish. But then we'll take these potential passion project ideas and put them through a filtration system. So when it comes out the end, you can have a library of passion projects that you could just start doing right off the bat and not have to think about it again, right? And that's kind of what Cody and I are hoping to do, is just say, cool, just pick one. Like, we've already gone through this filtration process. Now you can just choose.
Start.
Yeah, just
go.
Which one makes you giddy? Like, which one makes you want to run through a brick wall, right? Like, that's what you want to just go and do. And the Lord will take care of the rest.
Oh. I remember when Maurice was teaching me about passion projects, and he was just like, Cody, it's just fire to fire passion projects. That's what we do. Once the current one kind of loses its fire, you've got to have one in the hopper ready to go, right? And so if we got a whole bunch of passion projects ready, you're just like, no, that's going to be the next thing. You're going to be practicing that passion.
And so, you built the framework around it, so then it's just next one up, next one up, next one up.
It's the new way of living. It's the new lifestyle that we want to create that is extremely fulfilling.
Ooh.
And it just does everything the false or counterfeit addiction would do, but in extremely influential ways. That's why Eternal Warrior Podcast has been so awesome.
Oh, man.
One thing that I've shared on here a couple times, if I can find it here. I try to count. My girlfriend just reorganized my phone apps. Oh, here we go. Found it.
I saw what happened there. You just threw somebody on the bus.
No. Here's the thing. I am irresponsible with technology, and as a result, I am kind of I'm a tab hoarder on my laptop, and I'm an app hoarder on my phone. Anyway, I am 11,100 days old. Okay, and I had a friend that was counting the days of his life, and it's. We can think about time so differently if we're really trying to maximize our mortality. I remember, you know, the 10 years ago when I came home from my mission, I remember the thing like immediately afterward when I was getting back into, again, quotes, normal life. I couldn't believe how many hours there were in a day. I couldn't believe how productive you can be and how much you can do. If you just plan it, if you just have a plan and a structure, Mark, to what you were talking about, and you can look back and be, man, holy cow, I did more in the past 100 days than I have done in the previous 1,000 or something like that. And also in like fashion, I remember when I turned 11,000 days old, and there's 100 more days, and I don't think I've done anything significant or different, and that's on me, and I'll never get those 100 days back. And so it's important to, like, it's I love what Cody said when it comes to fire passions and thinking about life and time differently. There is so much that we can do. And it's just up to us if we're going to use the finite gift of our life in a way that allows us to actualize that potential. Because there's so much vying for our attention, whether it's addiction, right? Whether it's porn, or whether it's just doing something else, overconsumption of everything. Mm-hmm. How many streaming services do we all subscribe to? I have way too many that I think of, and all they're trying to do is leech my life. They're saying we want you every day to watch an hour of a show instead of something else, and that's kind of scary to think about.
It is super scary. And can we talk about one more little trick of the adversary? I don't know how much time we have, but I don't care. No, let's talk all night. Yeah. Can we talk all night?
Seriously,
yeah.
That's so fun.
You can tell I'm a little pumped about this. But, and to that point, I think it's super fascinating. So one question I've always had that I have never been able to answer is, why does Satan come to Christ right after the 40 days of fasting? And why does he come to Moses after Moses has that experience with God face to face in Moses chapter 1? I mean, both times they probably are at their spiritual peaks, right? I mean, Christ is like, I've just done 40 days of fasting. I'm getting ready for my ministry. Boom, let's go. And Moses, similarly, I just saw God face to face. And he called me his son multiple times. So why does Satan come in that moment? And I thought about that in my life. Is I feel like at the peaks of my spirituality is when the distractions really start to come in. They don't come in when I'm, you know, just playing Xbox or whatever for hours on day. They don't come at those times. It comes in my spiritual peaks. And I think there's a reason why. I think it's because Lucifer, in those points, once again, Maurice has said this, and I love this. He doesn't play by any rules. There's no playbook that he has to hold to. He is unleashed to do whatever he needs to, and within, obviously, not breaking the agency barrier. So he comes into Moses, and what does he say to Moses? He says, Moses, son of man, worship me. And Moses can't break through that easily. I mean, he goes back and forth. I mean, we talk about a true, like, warrior fight. Like, Moses chapter 1 is it. It's like, you know, cat jab and counter jab, and they're just going at it. And then there comes this point where Moses says, it says that he calls upon the Lord to save him. So Moses can't do that by himself, right? He can only do it with the Lord. And then finally, Satan leaves after that. Similarly with us, I think as we find ourselves digging ourselves out of these holes and as we're progressing and getting ready to progress and be proactive, Satan's going to do everything he can to pull you back into that complacency. And we talked about this a little earlier, because if he can keep you there watching, binge watching one of my favorite shows, Cobra Kai, for like hours and hours and hours on end, right? Then we're losing out on those opportunities to do our passion projects. And there's nothing more fulfilling than doing our passion projects, but he would have us convinced that we're not doing it right, that we're not helping anybody, that we're wasting time doing this because we could be doing something more fun. But when Cody and I have been talking about this, there's been nothing more clear to me that the Lord needs more passion project people, because the Lord needs more warriors, yes, but more importantly, he needs more captains. He needs more Captain Moronis out in the world, who, by the way, was not a prophet. We forget that. He was just an ordinary dude who was passionate about freedom and liberty. That was his passion project. And he goes through and he just helps, you know, all these people. And as we continue to work on becoming captains and being passionate about these projects, the Lord can mold us into who he expects us to become. And that, to me, is the most fascinating thing about this whole thing. Mm. I have been digging into this a little bit.
Dude, I love it.
It's so freaking cool. So this will be my next question as we're just kind of wrapping this up here, is what can people expect from the class? Like, what is that going to look like, or what does that entail? Just so,
yeah.
And then from there, how do they get involved? Because I think anyone,
you can expect Cody reeling me back energy wise.
No, I love it.
So what you can expect is you can come in and you can expect to learn a few key things. Number one, we're going to really focus and dig in on week one about knowing yourself and knowing your potential. Without this background frame this background work, I don't think that people can be successful with passion projects the way they want to be. So we're going to go take a step back and do some of this groundwork on knowing yourself and knowing your potential. Then the second week, we're going to go through we're going to go through building the values, your core values in your framework. And then from there, we go through this filtration process of spitting out the right types of passion projects on the back end. So really, it's going to be very content driven. It's not going to be as interactive as say, our synergy and accountability groups are going to be, just because the main focus of this training is give people the content so they know how to start working through this stuff. And then from there on, we can start doing the synergy groups to say, okay, we've taught you how, now let's help you get there.
Yeah, what are you doing about it? Yeah,
exactly.
I love that.
I love it. So I have some info here. Five-week course.
Yeah.
And
how frequency is that? Is it done through Zoom? Like what's the
format? Yeah. So it'll be done through Zoom. I would love to do it in person, but we're just not there yet.
Yeah.
Hashtag COVID. But, so 5-week course, Monday nights for this first round is going to be from 5 to 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. You can join us through Zoom, but also you'll get access to the recordings afterwards, and I will put up any worksheets, workbook type things up in the Thinkific website as well. So
awesome.
So even if you can't make it to that time,
You still have access to the videos.
To
the whole class.
Yeah.
And begins March 8th.
March 8th.
So we're coming up here quick.
So that'd be this coming Monday.
This coming Monday.
When this is published, yeah. This coming Monday.
So register, lifechangingservices.org/passionproject. One more time, lifechangingservices.org/passionproject. Go register today.
And if you happen to be driving or something, we'll drop that link in the description.
We will.
So go ahead and click on it there. Man, I can't wait.
I know.
This is going to be so fun.
Awesome. Well, the coolest thing is you guys are living it. That's what I love. Like sitting here and seeing you guys do this.
We could use some fine tune.
I'll speak for myself. Yeah, we can fine tune. But you know when somebody's doing a passion project because you come in and the energy is just palpable, right? And that's what I love about what you guys are doing.
Dude, thank you.
I'm happy. I appreciate you saying that, Mark, because this certainly has been something that Spence and I were talking about this because we had unfortunately too long of a hiatus from season 3 to season 4.
Totally.
And one of the main reasons why we wanted to come back to season 4 is because how we feel when we do this. And sure, it's great to meet people like you. Like, we wouldn't have met you if we didn't come back, right? We wouldn't hear incredible stories from other people having awesome recovery. But, I'll speak for me. And, Spence, you can agree or not. But, I feel like this is part of what I was meant to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
To have these conversations and to help people out.
Totally. And all of those, lies that Satan uses that we were talking about today were used during those months, right? And even before we started, I know Cody cringes when we think about how long it took us to actually get started, probably, because we were like, we have this awesome idea, da 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 da, but hey, it's not going to be good enough. All these fears, don't do it.
But dude, once it got started, though.
Yeah.
It was barreling, and we had it's so cool how the Lord so consecrates fun. Your efforts to put people in your path to make it happen, because it's not ours.
Totally.
We're just stewards of it, and it's His work that we get to take part in, right? It's His team. We just get to wear a jersey for a little bit, you know?
Yes.
So cool.
Yeah, and be instruments, right? Mm-hmm. Just be able to do what He wants us to do. I think everything that we've talked about today very much hits home for me.
Real quick, I do want to clear something up because I don't want to feel like I was coming down too hard on people for watching TV and movies.
Yeah.
I think, and this is actually a question I get from a lot of people, either through sending us email or people that we've talked with the group, is do I not do TV or movies? First of all, if it's a source of pornography for you, then no, don't do it, right? If you can't handle access to that type of content right now or anything, not pornographic content, but if you know it's a channel for you to access inappropriate material, get it out of your life. I promise you, you're not missing anything, really. And then to be responsible with your media consumption, I've always, not always, but I had a friend actually teach me once, because I was asking her about, TV shows that she watches and movies that she watches or whatever. And we didn't really have a lot to connect on. And she said, you know, I just try to create more than I consume. And that has always stuck with me. And so if you are consuming media or content, ask yourself, am I doing this to be inspired? Am I doing this to recreate with people around me to actually, you know, like it's fun to watch a movie with your significant other or with your friends or to watch a sports game or something. But if the answer is, like, why am I watching this? If it's to fill time, don't do it. That's where Satan gets you. Because, like, one episode becomes five, and Monday becomes Thursday really quick.
Yep.
If you're not doing it.
Because there's nothing better to do.
And 11,000 days becomes 11,100 very, very quickly.
It adds up.
It adds up.
I like that a lot. I'm glad you talked to that.
And sorry, just to quickly add on to that, when you're really truly in a passion project, it's kind of like what I talked about working out at the very beginning. That stuff truly does become a distraction in a way where you're like, no, like I'm loving what I'm doing here right now. I don't need TV. I don't need that stuff. And yeah, you know, the occasional episode to let your brain relax, whatever. But when you're really engulfed in a passion project, There's nothing like it.
You would rather do that.
Exactly. You'd rather spend your time doing that than anything else that would be a distraction.
And it gives energy to life.
It refills your pitcher.
It refills. Yeah. It doesn't, like, when you just sit and watch something, you feel drained. When you live passionately, it, like, fills back up. I don't know why that works, but it gives you more and more and more. It gives back.
It's that dam principle, right, that we talked about before.
The dam principle.
Damn. Remember about principles?
I'm feeling a little dirty right now.
Yeah. I was like,
hey, better explain.
It's an analogy, a dam analogy. So it's actually, okay, I'm not going to say that. Remember what Maurice shares? He's like, you got the dam, right? But if only one turbine is going, what's going to happen to the dam?
It will break.
Okay. It will overflow. There will... I mean, of course, we're going to have buildup there.
I'm not a civil engineer, so I'm not even.
But it just likes using that word.
If you have 10 different, you know, areas where water goes through, I don't know what the word is, right?
Yeah.
You're going to power whole counties. You're going to possibly power the whole state. I don't know how it works. But that's what passion does. We need distribution systems for all our passions, because if we don't, what happens? We get too much buildup and we tend to go to places that we don't want to go. And so we got to distribute that passion.
Yeah.
Love it.
Another thing too,
like a lot of people that listen to the podcast, we're all fairly extroverted individuals in here. And I think it might be easy to think like, oh, well, I'm just so different from these guys. Like, I don't know if my passion project is going to make itself manifest in a podcast or in some type of go-getter way or something like that. These principles are for everybody, okay? And you will find a passion project that works for you. I have some really introverted friends who love to garden, and they have just these incredible, very elaborate and ornate gardens that's what they do. That's their thing. People that are incredible artists, people that are incredible musicians, like this is their thing to do. And it's not necessarily like, I don't know, an extroverted type of pursuit.
Yeah.
But it is still contributing to the world in a very powerful way.
Mm. Perfect.
So cool. Mm. What a beautiful, edifying conversation today. Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Cody, as always.
Yeah.
I think we should end in typical fash. Bash?
Oh yeah. Me like you. Yeah.
Mark, we'd like to hear why you fight. Why? And we that's how we end a lot of our groups.
Every sode.
So yeah, why do you fight? And why won't you give up?
I fight because my family deserves to live in a world where the adversary is, where he doesn't have a shot. He doesn't have a chance. That's why I fight. I fight because there are more righteous than there are wicked, and he has no chance of winning. And so therefore we'll make sure he does lose. Yeah, that's why I fight.
I love that because I can tell that you think about that consciously. It's not like, well, what do I fight? Oh, my family, I guess. No, it's like,
no,
because my Satan's family will dominate Satan.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love that.
You're the man. Okay. All you guys listening.
Yep.
Can I say one reason why I fight too?
Because I hadn't experienced this last week with Wes and Spenny. at a fireside that we did from Oregon.
Yeah. Yes. Big shout out to the folks at Hermiston.
I fight because when you can get to the level of where Weston and Spenny are in their recovery, like, there's no shame. And the way they presented to these youth that were vulnerable and hurting, and for them to hear really, really awesome men say what they said during a fireside, like, I'm still getting notes from that. I'm still getting emails from it. I'm still getting messages from it about why and how you guys were so effective. So, guys, when you have a passion project, it takes away shame, puts you on a different plane, and it definitely just influences so many around you. And so I'm fighting for people to be like Wes and Spenny and find that passion.
In a way, when we do, like, catch that fire in a passion project, that is our true normal. That is when we unleash the divine DNA within us, when we actually, because we're creating, and who's the greatest creator of all, right? We actually take on, like, our, like, his divine sireship of all of us is manifest through us, right? When we actually start to take on traits of our Heavenly Father, that's normal. And that's where we need to get to.
Yeah, all of you guys listening, you've got something special to offer. I just felt that really strong right now. All of those kids in the Hermiston stake, they've got something awesome.
Very much.
Awesome to offer. And let's go. Let's go do it. Love you guys. Come back next week. Whew. Okay, I'm feeling it. Love you guys. See you. Bye.